This is a replay of the Wednesday night, October 11th, the WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James, and we'll get to eclipse season and the new moon. I know Stacy wants to talk about that, and we will. But before we do, yesterday I promised a few times I'd get to a story, and I didn't. And then I got some emails who said, a cop commit suicide? No. Suicide by cop, it's just kind of a street definition for somebody who does something intentionally that will cause them to be killed by police. And that's the definition of that. And is that what happened in Hesperia? And there have been some sketchy details, though. Today I got a little more on the story. What happened was 911 got a call on a reported home invasion, and that was September 20th in Hesperia. Hesperia is off of I-15, San Bernardino County. It'd be on the way if you're going to Las Vegas by car. You'd go through Hesperia. And so it was that police responded to a residence on Sunland Street in Hesperia after the call, and coming out of the house is an individual who appears to be an imminent threat. He's concealed behind a mask, and he's pointing a weapon at law enforcement. Now, at that point, the deputy in question tried to de-escalate this. Now, at the same time, he was seeking cover behind a nearby vehicle, and I'd say, yes, you darn right you are. But additional vehicles had swiftly arrived, and the idea was that get the guy to stop from advancing. Well, they couldn't. The suspect continued to advance aggressively, pointing what they thought was a weapon at them, so ultimately law enforcement used lethal force to neutralize the threat. And that is precisely what you would do in that kind of a situation. But what turns out is, A, the suspect, who is now dead, didn't have a weapon. He had a BB gun, a pellet gun. And B, he's the one who called to report the home invasion. There was no one else in this home. So he reports a home invasion. Here come police. He comes out of the house in a mask, brandishing what looks like a weapon. Well, it is if you count BB guns, but at that time, you know, the cops aren't close enough to determine that. So again, this is not about did the cops act improperly, although clearly there in all these type situations is an investigation. But I found this interesting because I thought, what would possess someone to call law enforcement and then set themselves up to be a target if it wasn't suicide by cop, as I say? And so Abel Valencia, 43 years old, is dead. Well, it turns out now, just this week, a neighbor was interviewed who said, he lived there. He was not a burglar, that's for sure. He lived there with his mother. His mother is not speaking about any of this at this point. But what I found interesting was the neighbor said he had a mental illness and was doing pretty poorly. He probably needed help and just wasn't talking to anyone. Well, So his mother, meanwhile, is still struggling with her son's death, and she has not shed any light on the matter. People in the neighborhood all agreed the guy was a very friendly guy, and they have no idea what was in his mind, but they all came to the conclusion that there was mental imbalance. So, you know, it's one of those things that when I read this story, I've been wondering for weeks, and I guess, all right, so we know mental imbalance, but what on earth was in his mind, if that will ever be known? And again, this is one case where I think from the evidence at hand, you're not faulting the police. They did exactly what they were trained to do, as far as I can tell. All right, so I don't know if you are in San Bernardino County and have any more information on it. It's just it's curious to me that the guy would call police, say it's a home invasion, and then come out of there. Other than, okay, is it suicide by cop? I don't know. All right, so that's the story on that. 888-876-5593. Now, before we get to Stacy, she wants to know about the new moon, and we will tell her, but the lunar eclipse season is back. You know, they come in pairs. And so the Ring of Fire, that'll be the annular eclipse on Saturday, this Saturday, October 14th. And obviously, don't look at it directly. I probably don't have to tell you that. Don't use sunglasses or anything like that. In fact, if you want to stare at it, make sure that you have solar glasses, which are a lot darker and not the same thing. But what eclipses mean, if anything, and different depending upon the culture that's viewing them. And actually, all Navajo tribal parks near me are going to be closed from 8 until 1, 8 a.m. till 1 p.m. On Saturday, that's Mountain Daylight Time, because believe it or not, while Arizona does not observe daylight, the Navajos do. So, and Navajo cultural beliefs during the event cause them to close the parks and say, nope, no outsiders during this sacred event. So, what do astrologers say? Well, a variety of things, as always. Like I say, the eclipses come in pairs, and it's always interesting what signs are involved. Obviously, it's a solar eclipse in Libra, given the date, October 14th. 2 weeks from now, there's going to be a lunar eclipse, and that will be six signs over. That'll be in Taurus on October 28th. But being annular, that's where you see that ring of fire. And why that happens is because the difference in distance between the sun and the moon is great enough that when the moon passes over, it never completely obliterates the view of the sun. You see the ring of fire even at the perfect point, so to speak. And if you're in North America, which I assume if you're listening to me, you are, or South America, actually, which probably aren't, but you have a good chance of seeing it. It's a swath where you'll definitely see it, Oregon through Nevada and Arizona and Texas and all that, and down through Central America and parts of South America. That's the optimal viewing on that. But as far as what does it mean? Well, those who believe in the law of abundance, meaning that, in fact, you ask the universe for all manner of riches, which don't have to be financial, and your request is more potent right before the new moon, like minutes before the new moon, if possible. Well, of course, when there's an eclipse, it sort of throws gasoline on it with the standpoint of eclipse energy is very powerful, and I guess you're more than likely to have your abundance. So that's the deal. So with that in mind, Stacy probably wants to know the exact moment. So Stacy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
That's what I'm calling about. When do we write our abundance check?
Okay, well, that's...
Is that on the 14th?
Oh, it absolutely is on the 14th, but let's get you an exact time for Central Time for you. And remember that, of course, you want to do this just before the new moon. And actually, it's somewhat convenient this month. It's not the middle of the night or anything like that. It would be 5 minutes to 1 p.m., so 12:55 p.m. Central Time. So
12:55 p.m.
Central Time.
So that would be like in the afternoon.
Yeah, and a little before that. You could write it in the morning and be perfectly safe.
Oh, okay, 12:55 p.m. And that's on the 14th.
Yeah, this Saturday. So anytime before 12:55, you're fine. Even a few hours before is just fine. Doesn't have to be to the minute. Of course, that's also the exact time for the solar annular eclipse.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's
interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because astrologers will always tell you, well, it means this, that, or the other thing. But with time itself and how astrology is determined, the reality is that our form of astrology, Western astrology, it actually is probably well off in terms of, with the precision of equinoxes and all that, well off reality. That's why Vedic astrology, the Indian astrology, is actually more accurate. But that said, it doesn't stop astrologers coast to coast from telling you what all is going to happen because there's an eclipse.
Are you going to have, I forgot the other lady's name, who tells, you know...
Yes,
I forgot her name.
Julie Ryan. And
Julie Ryan.
Probably not. Her schedule and my schedule really don't align. But, you know, you can go to, I believe it's Ask Julie, and maybe Ask Julie Ryan. Let me find out. Yeah, AskJulieRyan.com. You can go online and check her out. You can check her, you know, she's got a podcast every week, and you can check out all you want to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Raleigh.
Well, sure. Always good to hear from you, Stacy.
And I'll try to call back, let's see, Thursday, is that a full show?
That's tomorrow, and it absolutely is. 3 big hours.
Okay, maybe I'll call you tomorrow so I can wish you a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Well, and you can fill us in on how home searching 2023 is going.
Yeah, I think, actually... it's really going to be the point.
Okay.
And I just have to get... it's so crazy with my life right now. Different... I have tomorrow in the morning, I have one of the bank people coming in to, you know, just look around the house, you know, mm-hmm. and do another, like, bank estimate thing.
Yeah, an appraisal.
The appraisal, right.
Whoa. Is that your phone?
Oh, I don't think so.
it's certainly not mine. But
oh, my goodness. But I'll let you go.
All right, good deal. Thanks for calling, Stacey.
I'll call you back tomorrow.
Sounds good. I'll look forward to it. Appreciate it. Yeah, so...
take care, Raleigh.
You too. As far as eclipses, astrologers more than anything, and this would be universal, whether it's Vedic or you know, Western, but astrologers look at eclipses more than anything as timing mechanisms. Things that are in the works astrologically, that this will really affect the timing of them. And as I say, eclipses come in seasons, so the Aries-Libra cycle, like we're having the, you know, Libra here for the solar, as far as that goes, but the Aries-Libra cycle lasts until 2025. And so you got the North Node in Aries, which can activate passions. And of course, depends where in your chart it is. And the South Node in Libra signifies time to focus on establishing balance. All right, well, good luck on that. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Another day gone by, Lord, and still I wait. You'll never know how much I try to keep my faith and be true. She'll ride on.
So those are the Knight Bros. Yeah, I'd say Knight Brothers, but if you look at the label, it says Knight, B-R-O-S. And that's important if you're looking to find it. 1965 on Checkers. But, of course, the Knight Brothers were not brothers, clearly. That was Richard Dunbar, who's still with us, and Jimmy Diggs, who, I don't know. If you look at Wikipedia, he's gone, sadly. If you look at other sources, he's alive and kicking. But assuming he's still with us, he turns 85 today. So happy birthday, Jimmy Diggs, if you are with us. Jimmy wrote Temptation About to Get Me, by the way. So hopefully he's still around to enjoy the respect many of us give him for that, because that's one of my all-time favorite records. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and that takes us to Kimberly in Kansas City. How's it going, Kimberly?
Oh, it's going beautifully. And of course, as I'm on hold, you give me so many things to think about. First of all, the eclipse. Okay, so being blind from birth, I have absolutely no idea what the sky even looks like. It's just a nothingness to me.
Right.
But the cool part is that you give me other things and other dimensions about the eclipse to even think about, and astronomy to even think about, so that it's not just merely this thing I can't see, but it becomes a thing. So I want to know, so as I'm sitting there, you mentioned about writing something. What?
Well, that is not necessarily related to the eclipse, but here is the deal. You know, people who are into spirituality believe that your intent, the things that you want from the universe, if you ask for them, the universe provides. But
yes, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind, or
right.
The unity proverb.
Well, yeah. There you are. Well, theoretically, if you set your intentions and put them in writing, actually by a prosperity check, which I'll get to in a moment, right before the new moon, that is when the universe is at its most potent in accepting what you are asking. So that's the theory. Now, and so they do it through a law of abundance check. And there's not a real check, though you could use one, but you're not cashing it. All right. Yellow, I don't know why yellow is the best paper, but you on a yellow piece of paper, but you know, you could make it anything you want. You just write out a fake check. And on the line payable to, you write your name. And then on the line, leave nothing there where you write in the dollar next to it. Leave that blank. Leave the date blank, because we don't want to date this. Now, on the line below your name, you write paid in full. And below that, where you sign it, you write law of abundance. And then by writing that, you're telling the universe that you're serious about, you know, the abundance that you want. And you'll find that it's very often granted. It may not be exactly what you've asked for by any means. It may not even be financial. But the theory is more abundance will come to you if you set your intentions right before the full moon and the law of abundance check. That's the deal on that. You can believe it or not now. But the deal is, eclipses theoretically are like gasoline is to fire. They sort of ignite the universe to be more likely to have your wishes be granted.
Oh my goodness, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I believe in this. As many years as I worked for a spiritual organization, I do believe in a lot of those things.
Wait. Oh, John, I got to interrupt and say, John said, I said full moon. I sure didn't mean to. New moon. He came
new
in
moon?
There. New moon, not full moon. New moon. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We got to check out the news,
okay.
And we'll be right back to tell you more about that coming up here on WGN Radio.
Now, Roland the Roadie was only a toady who set up the lights and the mics for the shows. And Gertrude the groupie was a rock and roll fan who stood by the stage door in the rains and the snow. Okay. Rolling the roadie met Gertrude the groupie at a rock concert back in Bayonne. He tried to seduce her, said he'd introduce her to all of the Beatles and Stones. So Roland the Roadie got Gertrude the groupie a seat in the balcony above. And Gertrude the groupie, the grateful and groovy.
But Roland the Roadie felt numb.
And some folks loves ham hocks, and some folks loves pork chops, and some folks loves vegetable soup. And Roland the Roadie loves Gertrude the groupie.
Gertrude the groupie. groupie loves groups.
She stood up and screamed as the amber spot beamed on a hero's so skinny and tall.
WGN Radio, I'm Rodney James. Yeah, of course, it's Dr. Hook, Roland the Roadie. Oh, man, is that ever quintessential Shel Silverstein? Just the best. 1973 on Columbia was not a hit, but Dr. Hook, 48 years ago tonight, was playing the Beacon Theater in New York with the Atlanta Rhythm Section, and that was the same week that A Little Bit More was peaking at number 11 on the Hot 100. You can bet he wasn't singing Roland the Roadie, but there you have it. 888-876-5593. We're talking to Kimberly in Kansas City about the new moon. Yes, yeah, so new moon, time to set your intentions and, you know, ask the universe. And you'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go to Mary Ann Winkowski, MaryAnnWinkowski.com.
Oh, yes.
She's got the whole thing on there telling you what the law of abundance is and how it works.
I do remember her from some of your previous shows.
Exactly. So you can read all about it as far as that goes. But eclipse from beginning of time, because they can be spectacular to view. And by the way, Kimberly, they also can be a big nothing to view. It depends how you look at this stuff, you know, and nobody should be looking directly at the sun either way. But eclipse has always had a fate about them from back in cave day onward. And so different people give them different meanings. But more than anything, astrologers consider them timing mechanisms. If things are going to take place in your chart, this might be the timing mechanism that causes it to happen now, you know, that kind of thing. And so what's...
Oh, I'm writing that check for sure.
Yeah.
But that wasn't even what I was calling to talk to you about, but I just was so fascinated when I heard that.
Yeah. Well, good. So what's
up? Yeah.
So tell me what's up.
Well, I have been taking pictures, which is really scary. Think about when you can't see, but I've been taking pictures. There is a brand new app called Be My Eyes, which is not brand new. That app is where volunteers are on staff all over the world to answer questions for people who are blind. Like, you know, if you're living alone, you know, a lot of thermostats are inaccessible. And, you know, so you can take a picture of the thermostat with your iPhone camera, and someone on the other end of the line can say, all right, I see that you're at 74 degrees, so let's see how we can get you raised up to blah, blah, blah. Of course, then you have to know how to do that. But, you know, it's amazing. But they have just launched a totally different component of this thing, because sometimes you just don't want to tell a person what it is.
Right.
It's so embarrassing.
Right.
What you can't see, and have someone help you with something personal or whatever. So this app is called Be My AI, and it's incredibly accurate. You can take a picture of something, and within seconds it comes back, and it gives a remarkable description of what you of something that you're looking at. For the first time in my life the other day, I could tell what kind of Jell-O I was making. And I know that sounds silly.
No, that's great.
But, you know, I'm a Jell-O freak, and I could tell what kind of Jell-O I was making for dinner. It was orange. I just couldn't believe it. I held this thing over I held my camera over the box, took a picture, and I could tell. Then I went down to the mailbox, got the mail, and, I mean, for the first time in my life, I'm sorting through it and going, this envelope's for me, this is for someone else in my family, this is for me. So then I get to the envelope, and I'm opening it, and I have, you know, an insurance claim, which sometimes we all have for one thing or another. And not only did the darn thing summarized for me what the document said.
Oh, that's great.
I could not believe it. I mean, it's going to make such a difference of how empowered I am for the rest of my life. I mean, I'm so used to being, you know, dependent on someone else just to read everything to me.
Right. No, absolutely. And I was seeing, I guess it was August, where they were inviting beta testers on iOS.
Yes, so. I was one of them.
Okay.
But, it wasn't quite this advanced. I wasn't quite expecting this. And everyone's really giving AI a hard time right now. And I understand it. I understand how scary it can be, but there is also a lot of good to be had with this AI. I mean,
oh, absolutely. Well, firstly, we call it AI, and I laugh because that's kind of like talking about G5 or something. But 5G. Here is the deal. It's artificial intelligence, but it's still deductive reasoning. People who are afraid that mm-hmm. HAL 9000 is coming to their door, there's nothing inductive about this reasoning. So I don't see anything frightening there. Yes, it certainly can replace certain rudimentary jobs, no doubt about that, and some people are afraid of that. But the idea that it's going to be able to take over, it isn't AI in that sense.
No, and I think people are just getting too ahead of themselves. I would worry much more about what's going on in Israel tonight than I ever would about AI.
Well, assuming that AI aren't launching the drones, but no, kidding.
Right. But so here's a thought. Here's one thing that I'm sitting here as you're talking about the suicide. All right. So what if there was developed something that a sophisticated camera could take a picture of, and AI could determine then if that was a BB gun versus a real gun? Why have we not gone that far in policing
speed.
At this point?
Speed, more than anything, because when you're talking about life and death situations like that, you're talking about making decisions in a picosecond. And I don't think there's
this would take about 10 seconds.
Well,
10 seconds could save a life.
Well, 10 seconds is enough for the cop to be dead. That's what I'm saying. You do not have 10 seconds.
So if they could get a more reactive AI that could instantly take that picture. I'm surprised that policing isn't working on this.
Well, no, it's not. It'd be a question of whoever was going to invent it, not policing, because, you know, then we're talking about something that has a relatively limited use and, you know, where's the dollars in it? But it would need to replace a form of reasoning that AI does not do yet. And that's what I mean about the difference between inductive reasoning and deductive reasoning. And hopefully the things that are going through your mind in that split second are more than the deductive reasoning that AI could provide.
I was just thinking about identification of the object.
Yeah,
so
but that
a BB gun?
Yeah, I understand that, but you know, you're in a life and death, you know, literally nanosecond time. You know, that's just one of many points that you need to be able to quickly analyze.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't, you know, sure, if you have this, that can be added to the repertoire, but at this point in time, it can't do it.
Well, I'm still amazed at my level of, I mean, I remember when I had 9 volume Braille books.
Oh, of course.
And I would have to have the dorm room to myself because I was a double foreign language major. I majored in German and Spanish and minored in French. And I had to have dictionaries, you know, my foreign language dictionaries were like 26 volumes apiece, and they would run all along the length of my bookshelves. And now here we are, where I can download a dictionary, a foreign language dictionary, to a little SD card the size of a postage stamp, place it into a refreshable Braille display, and read it.
Well, absolutely. That's true about everything. I mean, your entire music library can fit on a chip. You know, the Holy Bible easily on a chip the size of your pinky nail.
Yep. I got rid of my 26-volume Braille Bible years back, too.
Right, so that of course, is the case. But at this point, while sure, any tool you can get is going to be good, nothing will be able to replace, you know, the quick thinking of a trained officer. And, you know, but if this device could do this in a picosecond and could do it automatically, because at that moment in time, you don't have time to take a picture.
Mm-hmm. But you maybe know. we are evolving to that point.
Maybe
at some point in the next 15 or 20 years. I mean, look how far we've come. I mean, my point is we need to think about the pros of all this and the jobs that will be created. And, you know, I mean, we can either look at it from a horrible standpoint, which I think the pandemic got all of us doom scrolling and doom thinking, Or we can look ahead to the advantages that we're going to find in all this.
Oh, well, certainly. And it's there's a lot more involved than just that. For instance, what was going on with regard to the writer's strike, the idea that your livelihood could be supplanted by AI, you do need rules, union rules, that will prevent that from occurring. It's not a question of whether the technology can do it or not. It's whether a question you can be displaced by it. So there's a number of societal things that come into play as well. But technology is agnostic. It's not good and it's not bad. It depends how it's used.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd agree with that. So, I'd agree with that. And on another note, my heart just is ripped out like everyone else's by what's going on in Israel. How in the world were they so unprepared? They're such a sophisticated, they've got the most sophisticated military, one of the most sophisticated in the world. How in the world did this happen?
Well, those are the big questions, and I tend to not go there on the show because we try to be completely apolitical, and it is very hard to be apolitical with that discussion. But clearly, it was an intelligence failure that they now know well. So they'll address that however they can. But one thing that we had talked about last night, historically, not looking at this particular conflict, and actually war, to put it the way Netanyahu has, is that unfortunately the creation of the country led to disagreements that are not going to be resolved. And I'm not in any way saying shouldn't have been created or whatever. I'm just saying that this wasn't well thought out enough. What we're seeing now is exactly what you'd expect. It doesn't make one side completely wrong or one side completely right, but and depending on your viewpoint, you might view it one way or another. But clearly, it was a failure from day one in terms of thinking that could be done and everybody would live in peace and harmony. Not going to work.
Well, and here's the interesting thing. My church, along with many other church groups, are over there right now.
Of course.
Seeing the Holy Land.
Of course.
And trying to get out.
Of course. Yes, million, yeah. Tens of
my
thousands.
My group
people.
Was on a ship, so they were diverted, but the problem, of course, now becomes the airline.
Oh, absolutely. And again, on and on and on and on it goes. And it is at the moment an utter mess, and the world is standing by and watching it. And there's probably a lot of venues to get into every facet of that. But I try to, for 3 hours a night, take us away from that.
And I love it. And I thank you for it. And I think that is wonderful. And let's talk about anything else
All right.
Everything else.
Good deal. It's great to hear from you, Kimberly.
Oh, it's great. And thank you for being there for all of us.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let me know what the law of abundance brings you. Can't wait to hear
it. I absolutely will. All right. I have one of my large print checks in front of me, and I'm putting it in the typewriter and getting it ready for 12:55 p.m. on Saturday.
You betcha. All right, thanks.
Absolutely. I'm going to do it.
All right, good deal.
Take care.
Yeah, I do it just about every month. Occasionally, I'll forget. I'll be an hour late or whatever. Now, being an hour late is not good, but if that were to happen to you, continue to write it. It might not have as much of an impact, but that's not to say it won't have any impact. But best of all, if you can kind of mark your calendar. If you go to MarianneWinkowski.com, you can even download the little calendar of when the new moons are, so you'll know. I think she writes it in Eastern time, but you can extrapolate for Central or Mountain or Pacific as well. 888-876-5593. We got Eduardo, we got Don, we got Marlo, we got James, and hopefully you too on WGN Radio.
Feeling so depressed. Everyone's telling me I'll be fine. And all that it takes is a little more time. They say I should get my heart in hand, but nobody seems to understand. You're not easy to forget. Seems I'm not in love with you. You're not easy to forget.
James. One of my favorites, Dottie West. I played it for that because Dottie would have turned 91 today. Sadly died on her way to the Grand Ole Opry in 1991 car wreck. That was written by Cynthia Weil, and when you look at best songs by Cynthia, you'll see things like You're My Soul and Inspirational, You've Lost That Love and Feeling. Well, in between, you don't see You're Not Easy to Forget, but you should. We'll pick it up there next hour on WGN Radio.
I was shopping for a suit the other day, and I walked into the department store. I stepped on the elevator and told the girl, dry goods flow. When I got off, a salesman come up to me. He said, what can I do for you? I said, go in and show me all them sport clothes like you supposed to. He said, well, this year the country's on a continental kick. Everybody likes the Latin designs. I said, well, do you have? He said, we got everything. You see, clothes is our line. Oh, wrap it up while you got it here on hand. That's what I told him. Because I'm going to a party and I want to look as sharp as I can. I said, tell me more now, tell me more. He said, comfort in dress will be the keynote with the solid colors toned down to a sheen. Now just picture yourself in patch pockets all on nail, pale silk, mohair, gabardine. He said, now stop here a minute, look at this new fabric that just come in, I got on the shelf. It's an imported lightweight material. Try it on, go stand in the mirror and dig yourself. He said, now this is the newest of the splash weave with the cutaway flap over twice. It's a box back two-button worsted model. I say, that's real nice. Wrap it up while you got it here on hand. I want to be standing tall tonight because I'm going to a party and I want to look as sharp as I can. You see, they're wearing 28 shades of grays this year with the new knit stitch in the ways. And the very
GN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So that's Clothesline, the original Shopping for Clothes, before Lieber and Stoller ripped it off for the coasters. Yeah, that was Boogaloo and his Gallant Crew. Boogaloo, of course, was Ken Harris, and he did write it and eventually got royalties, but not right away. 1956 on Crest, it was the flip side of Cops and Robbers. All right, so 888-876-5593. Why did I play it right now? There was a reason, actually. I think Shopping for Clothes, which was released in 1960, allegedly written by Lieber and Stoller, peaked on the charts this week. Yeah, 1960, it's something like number 80-something. So, yeah, glad it didn't do more than that, but Boogaloo should have certainly done better. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh and Marlo is in Jackson. How's it going, Marlo?
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
All right, thanks for waiting. What's up?
Oh, good, going good. It's going good. Did my sister send you an email today? Did you get it?
I haven't gotten it yet. Did she? I talked to her on the air, and that was a delight. But what time did she send the email? Do you know?
Maybe 2 or 3 o'clock. I know she said she'll send it, but sometimes you have to email her and she has to email you back for something to go through. I don't know about those computers.
I don't know either, but I don't think so. I will go through my email in the next couple days because, once again, you know, if I don't check for like 2 hours, next thing you know, there's 200 more. So I got a whole clump.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I kid you not, if I go a couple days, it's thousands of emails, and that's where I am right now. But I promise you, before the weekends, I will go through every one of them. But I did not see one.
Well, what is it about? I did a television show here.
Yeah? When?
And it was on, it was a talk show. It was on, let's see, I got to think of that. She's supposed to send you that email. eplustv6.com.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, eplustv6.com. So they interviewed me, but I brought your name up a lot.
Oh, isn't that nice of you? All right, well, that's terrific. E plus TV 6. All right.
Yeah.
Looking at this right now. All right. So they have a list of shows and they have a list of schedules. So is it preserved? Like, even though it's not on at the moment, can I watch the tape?
Yeah, it's supposed to come on tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And Saturday at 10 o'clock. Now, you might can go on YouTube.
Okay.
E plus.
Oh, here we are. It's dialogue with guests Joe McKinney and Marlo Lanier. All right, dialogue.
And they asked me to be on now, but I had to talk about you a little bit.
That's so nice. And it's going to be on Saturday the 14th as well.
Right.
Yeah, at 10 a.m.
I don't know how they do that. Do they show it on the... I know it'd probably be on TV here, but do they show it, like... on the computer too, right?
Yeah, there. I don't know. I'm gonna have to read about this. I'm clicking on it and it doesn't bring anything up.
But I believe you say it might come on YouTube, like you have to put E plus TD.
Oh great. Okay.
On YouTube.
Okay. Let me go to YouTube right now and try that. So great. Well, I hope so. I can't wait to see you.
Check it out, TV, you know, and see what you think. You can put it on your link or whatever, you know.
Okay.
A lot of people was calling my sister and said, "We seen your brother on TV a bunch of people, so I haven't saw it yet."
Okay, so yeah,
you know,
E plus TV
it, but
6.
I hope I see it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a E plus TV 6. They have playlists and all that, and they do have their own YouTube channel. So what I'm looking for is dialogue. Is Stephen Bowers the host?
Steve Bowers.
Okay, yeah, all right, so here we go. So we have episodes from 6 months ago. Well, I don't want to see 6 months ago. I want to see today. But
I did mine a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, I don't...
But see, when they take shows, they're going to show it forever. It might be their show 20 years from now. It'll come on often.
All right.
That means it's just like me advertising you. 20 years from now, they're going to show that, you know. They don't show it 2 or 3 times and quick. They keep on showing it over and over during the year.
Well, hopefully they'll get it up on... it looks like there's a little lag on YouTube. The things don't go up quite as quickly as you'd like. But the most recent one is 8 days ago. So I guess we just wait a little by, be patient, and we'll see it.
Okay. Okay.
Well, great.
Yeah, that's what she's going to send you an email about.
Okay,
you know,
good.
About being on that talk show.
Good.
But I want to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
I was listening to Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
And he said that he did Cherish. I didn't know the association changed their name to Kenny Rogers.
Well, that's right. It was the association, absolutely.
I didn't never know that. I was shocked when I heard that.
But when he was with the First Edition, they did all sorts of things. Because, you know, back then, they used to, you know, on albums and things, they'd cover everybody's record. So it was around the time that they did Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town, which was actually a cover of Johnny Darryl, and Mel Tillis wrote that.
Right.
But Cherish was the association. Terry Kirkman of the association wrote Cherish. But and it was on the Valiant label. That was before they went big time. And that was recorded at Gary S. Paxton's garage, the guy who had Garpack's record and Monster Mash.
I heard it.
He was interesting. But it is one of the most played songs of the 20th century, according to BMI. And I'm not surprised that everybody and their brother didn't. Dave Cassidy did it. David Cassidy, that was painful.
But
I'll tell you, Dizzy Gillespie covered it. The Letterman, Nina Simone, Ed Ames, Petula Clark, Rita Wilson, on and on and on. So Kenny Rogers in the First Edition, probably on one of those albums about the time Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town is out by them, is when they did that. But Wes Farrell produced it for the association originally, and a lot of good session players on that, including Gary Paxton. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, my video, understanding, I put it out over a year ago.
Yeah.
Now, it done sold over 20,000 views and have saw it, but I haven't promoted that video. I ain't did nothing. It's just floating in the air.
And it's great.
It's doing it by itself.
Yeah.
It's good to be, you know, not promoting it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's still going up, but maybe some will click in a minute overnight.
Well, I hope so. I think it should. That's for sure.
Yeah, but it's always good to talk to you. My sister told me to tell you hello.
Oh, and likewise, hello. It was great that she called.
Yeah, she enjoyed you. She said she's going to be calling you because, see, she had cancer. breast cancer, but she ain't real mission, but she forgot to talk about it a little bit to you.
Oh, man.
So she promotes it, you know, and tell people how they're supposed to do.
Yes.
She's doing real good. Yeah, she's doing good. It's gone, but she in real mission. You know how that goes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. No. Well, good. I'm glad that she got a handle on it, and hopefully there'll never be a recurrence.
I understand that. That's true. But you sound good, girl.
Well, you too.
I was glad to talk to John, and I'm glad he's doing well as expected, you know, the condition he was in. So it's got like that church song said, just hold on just a little bit longer.
Right, exactly. You betcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, then. I thought I'd let you know, and take care of yourself, and I'll be talking to you from time to time, okay?
I'm counting on it. Thanks.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
good deal. So, 888-876-5593 would be 8888-ROLLIE. And I believe that is going to get us, if he's still waiting, and I don't know. It's been about an hour. Don and Beloit, are you still with us?
Hey, who wouldn't want to wait for talking to you,
Bob? You're too kind.
Yeah. Well, that was like that Boogaloo. That was great. I think I've heard you talk.
Yeah,
about
I
that
love that guy, Kent Harris. That's was
great.
Terrific. And you know, it's hard to believe that Lieber and Stoller would have ripped him off, but they did, and they got caught.
Wow. And you know, people talk all the time about this was the first rap song or this was the first rap song. But you know what I mean? In a way, I mean, that was just original.
There's so many like that. I always thought Prince Partridge, How Come My Dog Don't Bark When You Come Round was up there on the list.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, you say you never met my wife, never seen her before? Oh, I'll have to find that for you. Yeah,
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I always write down a lot of notes when we talk and so on. And was that Cynthia Weil? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that name.
Yeah, absolutely. Barry Mann's wife, Cynthia Weil, W-E-I-L. Yeah, she died earlier this year, sadly, but she was one of the great songwriters, you know, of Al Don music. It was Carole King and Jerry Goffin and Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil and, Ellie Greenwich and her husband. Well, that's terrible to say it like that, but.
Okay.
And they were, they're always called Brill Building writers, except that it wasn't the Brill Building. They were down the block at 1650 Broadway in the Al Don Music Suite, but just as good.
Okay. Yeah.
Jeff Barry was married to Ellie.
I always following up with things that you mentioned and looking them up. Okay.
Yeah, well, no, Cynthia Weil wrote so many records, and, you know, again, with her husband, Barry Mann, but you'd be alarmed at the number of mega hits that woman wrote. And of course, You've Lost That Love and Feeling was huge, but
big.
So many others, including stuff that, you know, weren't big hits, but I loved, like Bless You by Tony Orlando or Blame It on the Bossa Nova by Edie Gourmet. But I'm Gonna Be Strong, Gene Pitney. I'm trying to think of things off the top of my head, but Magic Town by the Vogues, I love that. Looking Through the Eyes of Love, and On Broadway, everybody knows On Broadway. Only in America, there were another set of words to that originally. Or Saturday Night at the Movies. You can go on and on, Uptown. So you know, You've Lost That Love and Feeling. You're My Soul and Inspiration, and you know, you name it.
Mm.
I mean, hundreds and hundreds of records.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that about on the way to the Grand Ole Opry?
That was Dottie West. Yeah, Dottie West, who was Dottie West was a mega country singer. She had over five dozen country chart hits.
Yeah.
And only one of them ever charted on the pop chart. Only one. And that was a duet with Kenny Rogers, I'm sorry to say. But she died. She was 58 years old. She was on her way to the Grand Ole Opry to a performance in 1991 and was killed. She didn't die in the wreck, but they got her to the hospital and she was in surgery and she died in surgery. Dottie West was huge. In fact, one of the young artists she really championed was Larry Gatlin. She was very responsible for him coming of age.
I see. Well, you and Johnny and others were talking about so much. I mean, so much is happening in the world that, you know, like you and I talk, it all comes back to the war. And what happened in the war goes back to World War One. And you and Johnny from Ohio, sorry. You guys were kind of stumbling around. I thought it would help if you don't mind. I just wanted to explain that so much of what we have today in the Middle East, or name some Pacific island, or in Greece and Turkey, I mean, so much of the world's grievances came to Paris in 1919. And there was a coming out, like literally the world walked to Paris if they couldn't make it by boat and so on. And your grievances, and you carving up the world between Clemenceau, the host, who watched his whole country get destroyed and so on. He played host in Paris, and you had David Lloyd George.
Well,
by far the youngest.
Yeah,
I think. And then you had Woodrow Wilson.
No doubt about this. And as I've said many times, I think if the United States bit and joined the League of Nations, there might not have been a World War II. And I heard you say that.
Because, I heard you say that. And I wanted to, I'm sorry, like gently correct you. But
well, you know the reason I say it. I'm a conspiratorialist. I firmly believe that they had to get the United States into something of that nature. And that's how they got them into the UN. You know, I'm firmly in the get the U.S. out of the U.N. class, but let's not get into politics.
Right. We're not going to do that, and I'm not going to talk about crude oil distillation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Although I did work in crude oil and refinery, but yeah. Wilson, you know, the world's come to realize that Wilson, you know, was this crazy Princeton professor who grew up during the worst of the Civil War in Virginia and witnessed a lot of the Civil War and had his own basically very racist views of the world. And carving up the world, he ignored all of his advisors. He wouldn't listen to people. He was very quick to hate people. And he didn't bring any senators. He didn't bring any of his people into his close confidence. And the League of Nations idea that he was so hot for, he basically ruined his own chances by not involving the opposition, like the senators and so on. He didn't bring any senators, even though he should have.
Yeah, I wish it was as simple as looking for any one cause. But when you're talking about colonizing the world, you go well before World War I as well. We could go on and on. But yeah, point taken, and would rather not revisit it.
Yeah, it's a great book. I encourage people to read Paris 1919 because it's a great book on how the world got carved up,
right.
Basically. And,
right.
And we have to play with what we have, cards we are dealt with to this day.
Yeah, 6 months that changed the world. Absolutely. My only point is, if we think that carving up the world and colonization started there, no, that was just the big finish at that moment.
Right.
So yeah, now I hope everybody will read it too, but you know, to be honest with you, I hope everybody will read. I'm not even particular what they're reading anymore.
You and John, you know, we've all talked about, you know, Homo sapiens and hominids and so on. And you think about how much has happened to the human race since we Homo sapiens happened along the way somewhere, you know.
And human nature never changed. You see, that's what's interesting. From the days of the cave to today, human nature is static. And you really see that in literature.
But many people have written that of all that human history, nothing ever took place that changed more chaos, more things that happened, as in when August the 1914 happened. There's more that happened in that month than any other time in human history. And there's a lot to be said about that.
Well, I wouldn't really go and pinpoint that as much as in John saying, stop talking right now. No, I want to bring something up, and
okay.
I will. So hang on there, Don. Don't go away.
Right.
As usual,
right.
The only thing I don't know how to do is tell time. So we'll pick it up there on WGN Radio.
From somewhere outside, I hear the street vendor cry, Billy Gumbo. From my window, I see him going down the street, and he don't know that she fell right to sleep in the damp tangled sheets. myself soon. After love in the hot afternoon. Now the Bourbon Street lady sleeps like a baby in the shadow.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Gene Watson. He turned 80 years old today. He had over four dozen country charters, never had a pop hit, though. Love in the Hot Afternoon, 1975 on Capitol, not his biggest, but quintessentially Gene Watson, in case you were wondering. 14 Karat Mind in 1981, co-written by Dallas Frazier, was his only number one record. But nonetheless, happy 80th to Gene Watson. So we're talking to Don in Beloit about societal changes, as it were. And you still with us, Don?
Hey, how you doing?
Yep. All right. I think we've only had two in the history of mankind. Now, I'm going to assume that fire was divine intervention, so we'll leave fire off the table. But I think the only two game changers we've ever seen is, number one, the invention of the wheel. I think that was huge. Other than that, digital and what's led up to it. And we're talking about something that started over 200 years ago, well over 200 years ago, and the build-up to how digital technology will change mankind on the planet. As I say, only the wheel would be as big. So everything else, yes, there are important points, but as far as changing mankind and human nature as we know it, I think there's only been two.
Okay, okay. So, I think Johnny, you know, if he knows his relative's regiment or company that he served in, you know, he can just have to type it on the internet. It's so easy to find out what his relatives did as a veteran like that.
Oh, really? And more, I know there are organizations that you can do that, but is the full roster of World War I available online?
I'm not an expert in these things so much as I've looked into it for Civil War and World War II, but basically, yes, it's so much easier in today's modern age to do stuff like that. Wow. I believe so. Yeah, I believe he could easily do that if he...
Yeah, well, I think that would be interesting. Yeah. Absolutely interesting. Yeah. Always interesting.
I would love to hear what he finds out about that.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I wish there was more of a history, you know, almost an anecdotal history of all the things that we're so curious about what people were thinking and doing at the time. You know, we know what history records, but just like when we're talking about going through, cemeteries and looking at grave sites, I always wonder, now, what is this guy's story? What was his life like? You know, that kind of thing.
There's a number of grave sites right across the street from me in a cemetery in Beloit, Wisconsin. There's like rows and rows just exactly like that. And there's some description for many generations of veterans like that.
No, I think that's great. You know, years ago, Bill Cosby used to have that routine, you know, of the drive-by funeral with the tape recorder. Don't I look nice? Aren't I lifelike? Don't I look like myself?
Right.
You know, but
right.
It'd be great if there was some type of written memorial or something so we'd know, you know, somebody's life in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm dreaming again. I guess I have to get to the Akashic Records on the other side.
Yeah, I'm so happy your Kansas City, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, but she mentioned that app, that Be My Eyes. And
yes,
I've been reviewing
Kimberly,
that.
Kimberly in Kansas City.
I would love to be a volunteer for that. I really
you can
love,
be.
Love reading. These reviews are amazing of that Be My Eyes app.
Yeah, and Be My AI. People. Yeah, no, they are, it's a Dutch company, but they are always looking for volunteers.
That's what it looks like, and it looks like it's really something that people enjoy volunteering like that.
Yeah, so you could do that.
Yep, anybody could do it, but it looks really great, and I'm going to make a point to download this and learn more so I can do that.
Oh, that'd be great. Keep us posted.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks
appreciate
for talking
it.
To me.
All absolutely. Right,
thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And let's see, before we get to Eduardo and I want to, and yes, we've got stories. I want to hear them all. And James, who, of course, gives me stories. Oh, boy, just in a huge amount. But Johnny D, let's get to Johnny D and his grandfather. All right, so Johnny D, have you ever tried to go online and find out if there's any database that he's in?
No, Roy, I know that the technology is amazing today, but I never thought of that. Now, I was just talking to John, and that fellow, who was it, John from Beloit? Or?
Don from Beloit.
Don. Mm-hmm. D-O-N.
Yes.
All right, like Don Corleone or something. Listen, so I've been trying for the last hour and a half to send you the video I made about 10:30 tonight, my time.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But it keeps, and I sent videos that, to my brother.
I believe I got your video.
No, you didn't.
I believe I, it says Caesar's Memorial Video. It came in my time at 8:42. And it was sent from Yahoo Mail on an Android telephone.
Well, that's me.
Well, I got
it. Is it a minute and 20 seconds long?
Well, that I don't know. I got to pull it off here to watch it. It's just on the email now. Let's pull it off here to watch it. All right. Come on. No, they'll make me do it. They'll make me save it as an attachment. All right. I'll do it that way. If they insist. All right. Save it as an attachment. Yes. Come on.
I was doing everything.
All right. Video. Save it as an attachment. Let's look at this here. All right. We got the video. We got the video. Let's play it. It's an MP4, obviously. And here we are. It is 52 seconds long. So I.
That is not it. That is not it.
Well, no. It's part of it. That's the problem. It's part of it, but not all of it. So, yeah.
Oh.
But let's see. Let's look at the information here to see how long this is, how big this is, to see what you're trying to send. All right. So, let's get some info on this video. Let's see. All right. So, how big? No, it's only 802 kilobits. It's not too big. That's for sure. So, assuming it's not really, really big at your end, that's the other thing. You can get info on what you're trying to send, because if you're trying to send something that's bigger than 25 megabits or something, you'll have trouble. But if I'm only getting 802 kilobits, I don't think you're trying to send more than 25 megabits.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know a bit from Twitch.
Well, you should be able to look at the file to see how big the file is.
I did that. I was looking. All these numbers came up, but I didn't pay no attention.
Well, if it's...
I was going to try to, what do you call it? Trim it or whatever, you know?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Compress it. But you may not have to. I don't know how big it is. And if you can take a look at that, see.
Let me get my tablet here. I had it on my tablet, too.
Okay.
If you got a little time here, come on, tablet.
All right.
Open up.
So,
oh, there it is.
Is your
let me see here, Raleigh, because I got it right here. Video 173
megabits. It says 173 megabits?
Yeah, that's what it says.
You're never going to get it to me. If it's more than 20 megabits, you won't get it to me.
Well, I don't understand. It's only a minute and 20 seconds long.
Well, I'm going to put you on hold because John may be able to tell you how to compress that bad boy. But no, you will never be able to send a 173 megabit file.
But I think I did send... I did send you an email. I think it went through. It's a picture, I wanted you to
yes.
look at.
No,
do you see that?
I have the picture.
Okay.
But that, but
was there any text in that email?
Well, let's see what it says. And I think there. Hi, Raleigh. Well, here is the video of Caesar's Memorial. Just took it about 10:30 my time. I tried to keep it precise and to the point. Maybe I'll try to call you to let you know if you don't mention it early in your show. I also decided to send you a picture of my grandfather Giuseppe, who fought in World War I in the United States as a machine gunner. He was born in 1893. I think I got that wrong last night. Also in the picture next to my grandfather is my father, my brother Joe, the golfer, when he was a kid, and my uncle Big Jack, who made the line for the Las Vegas Hilton Hotel back in the 60s and 70s. All right, so now, Giuseppe, what is Giuseppe's last name?
Same as mine.
Okay, all right, then, very good. I know what that is. All right, and I'm going to see what we can find out. One of the problems with World War I, as far as the information, is the original information that the government otherwise would have had available to you at the National Personnel Records, that was destroyed in a fire in 1973. So all of the discharge records from 1912 through 1960 were obliterated. So, however, state-level records remain, and a lot of that is at the Edwards-Jones Research Center. And so was it Ohio that Giuseppe enlisted or was drafted?
I'd imagine.
Okay. All right. All right. So
It would be Joe. He changed his name, you know.
Okay. So it would be
Joe and my last name.
Okay. Or Joe, or maybe even Joseph?
Joseph, yeah.
Okay. I will see if we come up with anything. I want to know. See, now I want to know all about Joe.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
All right. Good deal. Well, I'll look, and that fire certainly complicates things. I hate when that stuff happens, but we'll see what we can get.
All right. Well, I hope I could send you this video somehow. I tried everything.
Well, hang on. Don't
have a Google account, do you?
Well, no, but well, we did. John just can't access it. But we can get it up there if you can get it to us. But hang on. And
I was trying to create a link.
Yeah.
You know, and to send it to. But your name don't. I mean,
No. You can't send us a link to anything. No. But hang on, because there should be a way to compress that, because a minute and a half video file shouldn't be
120 seconds.
Yeah, but close enough. Shouldn't be 173 megabits. So hang on, don't go away. All right, so we'll let maybe John give him a word of advice on that, because I don't do video. All right, so we'll put Johnny D on hold. Now, 888-876-5593. We will talk to Eduardo, and we'll come back to you on WGN Radio.
WGN
Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Mary Wells. Yeah, indeed. And let's see, why did I play that? And Carol's wonderful show prep causes me to think of things. And I know. She was on Where the Action Is this week in 1965, and she wasn't singing that, even though it came out in 1965. It was the first song she had come out after Motown and on 20th Century, obviously, and I just loved it. She was not singing that. She was not singing Dear Lover, which also came out on 20th Century, but at the time, the current release on 20th Century was Me Without You, and she did sing that along with the Motown classic Two Lovers. Yeah, 1965 this week. Where the Action Is. Mary Wells. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, getting to Eduardo next here on WGN Radio.
You say you never met my wife, you never saw her before. You don't visit me when I ain't home. Well, here's what I want to know. How come my dog don't bark when you come round? Now, he's about the meanest dog there is in town. Oh, yeah, he'd bite anybody, my sister or my brother. He'd even take a plug out of my old feeble mother. Yeah, he bit the mailman, and he sees him every day. You say he never saw you before, but he wants to jump up and play. Now, I don't know just what you are putting down. How come my dog don't bark when you come round? Now, ordinarily, he ain't no friendly dog. He don't make friends too fast. Never known him to make a friendship in his life that would last. But when you came by the house last night, he rolled all over the floor, wagged his tail in his eyes like he's...
I think I got to get another file of that. Recorded it from the original 1955 Crest 45, but that was for Don and Bloyd, who never heard How Come My Dog Don't Bark When You Come Round. Yeah, Prince Partridge on the Crest label. All right, so 888-876-5593. Eduardo in Tampa, what's up tonight? Have you left us, Eduardo? Eduardo gave up and went to sleep. Probably a good idea. All right, so let's see what Laura and Willowbrook has to say for herself. Hello, Laura.
Hey, Raleigh. I just thought I'd keep the mood light.
Okay.
A couple of things. This past weekend, I started taking up my autograph collecting and things like that. I wonder, as a youngster or even today, did you ever collect any kind of cards or celebrity photographs or autographs?
Nope. Absolutely not. Never had an interest in it.
Interesting. Okay. Well, yeah. A lot of people do not do that. I actually used to collect cards when I was a kid, and I'd wait for the players after the game, and I'd go to a concert. You know, I mean, I met the Oak Ridge Boys in person, Crystal Gayle, Loretta Lynn. And now, of course, in those days, it wasn't a thing, don't sell stuff on the internet, so you didn't have to pay. So I found out about this card show, and I thought, oh, that's great. Only $10 to get in, and I thought, great. Because a lot of the Chicago Bears were going to be there. So I thought, oh, fun. And I, of course, do my research, so I thought, oh, yeah, it's only $10 to get in, but if you want to buy anything once you're in there, you're in big trouble. You better bring a big wallet. Yeah. I could not believe the money that these people were charging.
Well,
the football players, I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah, but they understand something. They understand the value of it. You know, in terms of my interest as a kid, I wasn't interested because, you know, for a while living in a hotel when I was growing up for a while, the Americana, I would, you know, see the entertainers, and I knew how much they disdained most of them giving out autographs because...
Really?
Yeah. And some of the weirdest people, I'll never forget seeing a young Mike Douglas, and someone came up to him, wanted an autograph, and all she had was a tube of lipstick. And he said, I'm not signing that. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, don't blame for that. But I will say, John is a comic book collector, and I mean massive.
Oh.
We're talking, you know, like maybe 100,000 comic books. A big collector. And
wow.
With comic books, getting the autograph of the original artist or the inker or the author, you know, or the writer, depending, that can increase the value, especially if you're going to then slab them and all that. And so I have gone to Comic-Cons with John where he's gone specifically because he knows who he wants, he knows what they're going to charge, and he pretty much has a good idea of what it's going to do to the product he's asking them to sign. He brings the books, obviously. I will say that some people, some of the comic book artists, they'll do it for free, but those are usually the ones where, you know, you're not getting a lot of value on it.
Yeah,
the other thing at these Comic-Cons is that many of them, like San Diego Comic-Con or even Phoenix Comic-Con, they'll have mega stars, you know, like people from big hit TV shows like Star Trek or something. And some of those some of those people will, you know, ask literally in the hundreds of dollars for a signature. Well, for the most part, whatever you're having them sign isn't going to escalate that much in value, so you're going to pass on that. But
Oh my gosh, good for John. I was never, I think it's used to start out mainly as a guy thing. I never was a comic book person, but good for him. But I was there, and I'm like, okay, I wanted to get a couple of players. It's like, they charge anywhere from like, well, I was like, okay, autograph or photograph. So I got a couple of players' autographs, but photos. And they run anywhere from $30 to, you know, hundreds, depending on how famous they are or whatever.
Right.
But Charlie Sheen was there from the baseball movie. The cast of Major League movie. And I couldn't believe it. It's three of them. $240 to get the three of them to get a photograph with them.
Just
to stand there and get a photograph.
Yeah, well, they're making their money that way. And, you know, for some of them, their star days in many ways as far as acting is long past them. So, yeah, they'll go to these shows and they'll do it as a money-making opportunity. And, of course, many of them will say cash only because, you know darn well, they're not reporting it.
Exactly. Well, I was just amazed that, like, hey, it's easy money. I just got to sign your thing and stand there and take a picture, and that's great. But I was amazed the people that would be rolling grown men, pulling the kids' toy wagons, and they'd have cart wagons full of autographed helmets. They'd have 10, 15, like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, again, they're probably going to resell those.
Oh, gosh, I guess so.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. Well, thanks, Raleigh.
All right. Good deal.
John and his collecting there. With
Have fun with yours. That's great.
All right. Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And Johnny is in Austin. What's happening, Johnny?
Well, good morning to you. How are you?
All right. Can't complain. How about yourself?
I'm happy. I'm happy to be on with you again. I really enjoyed the Gene Watson Love in the Hot Afternoon. That was one of my favorite. I was a big Gene Watson fan, and that 14 Karat Mine was great. And what was that other one I liked? Well, Pick the Wildwood Flower.
Oh, yeah. There are so many. And I just thought that Gene Watson was terrific. But something about Love in the Hot Afternoon just is quintessentially his.
Well, there was a guy in Houston that had a I think he was a record distributor named Russ Reeder, I believe his name was. I think he was the guy who discovered Gene Watson, because that Love in the Hot Afternoon was on a local record owned by, what did I say his name was, Russ Reeder or something like that? Anyway, he was on a local label, and Capitol picked that stuff up.
Yes, they did, and promoted the heck out of him.
By the way, I discovered a song. You know, when I listen to your KJ oldie station from Arizona, I've got it on my internet radio here.
That
also displays the song. It's so funny if you could be here to watch me, because I'll be listening to that station, and I'm like a jack-in-the-box. I'll hear a song, and I'll pop up, and I've got a notepad over there by the radio. I'll say, what the heck is this? I love this song. And I go and write it down. I go sit back down again, and I'm up and down. I'm back over there again. What's the name of this? Well, anyway, the other day I hear this song, obviously by Lenny Williams. Never heard of it before. I've got three of his CDs on MCA and another one on some other label, his last one. But this song I'd never heard before.
Shooty Foo Foo Ooh. right? Shudu Fufu.
No. Oh. I got that one.
Okay, ten ways of loving you.
There you go.
All right.
And that was I never heard it before.
Huh.
And I was so excited about it, and then I went to look for it. I didn't have it, of course. And then I saw that it was a single on some offbeat label called Knob Hill Records.
Right.
And but anyway, I did find it on CD, and I ordered it.
Okay, good, yeah. Knob Hill, Knob Hill with a K, of course.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a little label out of Oakland.
Well, here there was a couple of other songs I got real excited about. One was a group called Second Nature, and the title was Just Another Day in the Breeze.
Yes, isn't that nice? I know. And great female singing it. They never would tell me her name. They just kind of picked her up for the song, but it is wonderful.
That was a beach music song.
I have
some of those beach music compilations, but of course, I don't think that came out till the 2000s. I don't think.
No, I think that might have been. It might have been, but I think that might have been out in the 90s. They had Second Nature had another big beach hit before that. But I love Just Another Day in the Breeze. But I'm trying to think of that other one. They redid a record that Lanny Hall had put out. Who's that guy? I think.
Hmm.
And
I've heard that several times, and I jumped up again the other day, and I've got this long pad of stuff that I've heard on there that I really love, especially the songs that I've never heard before.
Yeah. Now, have you heard them do Who's That Guy?
No.
Okay. Well, hang on a minute, and you will hear that. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Oh, thank
we'll
you.
Pick it up right there on WGN Radio. Second Nature from 1985 on repeat. Yeah, and it was about 18 years later that they did Just Another Day in the Breeze, but there they are.
That was really good. You know, I've got a series of beach music on, it's not, the series is not complete on CD, but I do have some hit and miss ones on the repeat label that I got back. I bought them through that company at a DJ price for from repeat. They were I can't remember where they were out of, but and they, I also have a box set of theirs too.
Yeah Repeat was Pete Smolin's label out of South Carolina, and unfortunately it's not really around anymore. You can still pick up things online or, you know, at It Will Stand in Charlotte, but not much of that. But the problem with Repeat is they were not terrific in quality. Now, of course, you know me.
That is very true.
Yes, I'm being kind. But me, I don't give a damn. But I had a guy I was working at it with WDNC. I said, well, Larry Crockett, who's no longer with us, and he was a quality freak. He was like Dick Bartley. You know, everything had to be in stereo and everything had to be pristine. I'm like, just give me the original 45 and go away. But in any event, I said, well, Larry, if you want to do this, just go ahead and make a deal with the record bar and put out your own albums. He said, I can do that? I said, absolutely you can do that. Warner Special Products. I said, just go to the guy at the record bar. I think it was Barry Bergman was his name. And he'll set you up. Well, Larry did. And it was the Ocean Drive series. And he thanks me.
I've got some of those. Well, I've got some of those.
On the original vinyl, he thanks me on volume 1 and 3. And I said, what happened to volume 2? I said, I guess I wasn't on your mind, Larry. That's all right. But anyway, yeah. But he his quality on that Ocean Drive, when Larry did them, the vinyl, the quality was good. In fact, I even went out there to Warner Special Products when that was happening because I was in L.A. at the time. And I said, yeah, I'll go over there and see what they're doing. And they were well done and well pressed.
Well, also that song that you play called Kidnapper is on that label.
Yes, Jewel in the Rubies, of course. Well, not originally, but yes, they certainly have it. But that Jewel in the Rubies record, you know, that's the same record as something Don Robey put out on Duke Peacock with Joe Hinton. And you can't tell me that's not the same song.
Yeah, it's kind of sort of like that deal that... oh God! The 81 compared to Martha Reeves
right,
and Vandellas
right,
in My Lonely Room.
Right, right. They're close, but the Kidnapper and the Joe Hinton record are the same damn record. You know, I mean, period. Just different words.
It really is. I mean, yeah. It's got that Don Robey sound all the way through it.
Exactly. And Jewel was a college professor, and he did not admit to ever having heard the Joe Hinton record. But both came out the same year. I could not ever figure out who was first.
I have no clue, I would bet you that the Don Robey was first because it had that sound. I mean,
well,
there was
that's
a certain sound.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's why I thought to myself, Jewel, I think you're not telling me the whole story here. So
there was another Joe Hinton. You know, Joe Hinton, he had a lot of stuff that nobody's really heard, but there was one that I think it was about 61 that came out called "The Girl in My Life."
Yeah, no,
and it was a great little song. And you know, I was about 11 years old at the time, and it's like, what in the world? This is great, you know.
Yeah.
So the people up there at Don Robey's place put me on their mailing list. And I used to get all their songs when they came out, you know, even before I got my first job at KYOK.
Uh-huh.
It was just great. But that The Girl in My Life, if you can ever find that would be very cool to hear.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to look for that.
I don't know if you might have never heard it before, but it's a cute song. And just see what I make notes before I call you, but... another good song for a bumper that you might enjoy, and I relate these two songs together. Mixed Up, Shook Up Girl by Patty and the Emblems.
Patty and the Emblems, of course.
And when I think of that, I always think of Earl Jean. I'm Into Something Good. I don't know why I put those two together, but I just do.
Oh, yeah. Well, Patty and the Emblems were a Camden group.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was big in 64. I remember.
Oh, that was just so good.
Yeah.
And then I think I mentioned to you before a couple of songs on the Temptations album called Temptin' Temptations.
Uh-huh.
There was two tracks on there that were never singles. One's called I Gotta Know, and the other was Born to Love You. And if you ever get a feeling that you want to dive into either one of those, that would just be great.
Okay, I will do that. All right.
Oh, gosh, you got news coming
up. I do. It's absolutely true. So hopefully we will talk soon.
Yeah, you have a great night or good morning.
Yes, and thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
All right, so we'll get to James. We'll get to Isaac. Isaac wants to talk about Gene Pitney. All right, we can do that. And there's still a line available for you too tonight. Yes, indeed, on WGN Radio. WGS Radio. I'm Riley James. Patty and the Emblems. And that was on Cap 1968, about the last year she recorded, the last label she recorded for. And at that point, they changed her name to P-A-T-T-I, a mixed-up, shook-up girl, the only hit she had, which was on Herald, by the way. It was P-A-T-T-Y. And in between, she put out a few things on Congress as well that did nothing. But so from 64 with a hit, and it was a hit, mixed-up, shook-up girl, through 68. For a moment there, Patty and the Emblems. So who are the Emblems? Eddie Watts, Vance Walker, Alexander Wilde, I think were the three. And I can say they were Camden folks. So 888-876-5593, and I think that's the one that Johnny heard that he liked, but in any event, I did, so that was good enough for me. All right, so Isaiah is in Chicago. So Isaiah, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, I want to say good evening because I'll be going to bed after this show goes off, but this is Isaac on the south side of Chicago. I was calling because there's a song by, I think the guy's name is Gene Pitney.
Okay.
Called A Town Without Pity.
Oh, of course, from the movie, okay. Of course. The huge hit.
Well,
and,
what I wanted to know was Gene Pitt, is it Pitney or Pittman?
No, Pitney, P-I-T-N-E-Y. Pitney.
Was he a big hit?
Gene Pitney was huge.
He was? Okay.
Yeah.
When I hear the song, I think 1950s. I think, like,
no, 60s.
Much older than it actually.
Yeah. No, Gene Pitney, he was born in, he was a Hartford guy in Connecticut, and he was born in about 1940. But he originally did country stuff, and in fact, on the MusiCorps label, he had duets with George Jones and trios with George Jones and Melba Montgomery. And so there were, so much country. But then after that, on MusiCorps, he started having a string of big top 40 hits, and I mean big top 40 hits. There were several in a row that were just huge, like Looking Through the Eyes of Love and I'm Gonna Be Strong and 24 Hours from Tulsa and on and on. Mecca, I always laugh at Mecca because today that would be so politically incorrect. You know, It Hurts to Be in Love and all that. So yeah, and he wrote a lot of songs. He wrote He's a Rebel, which was a big pop hit. So, yes, Gene Pitney, I can't say enough big things about Gene Pitney.
Okay, well, I have to do some more research on him. I just know that one song, and it's followed, like, me when I change iPods and change iPhones and stuff like that, and I'm like, the song pops up every so often. So that's all I wanted to know.
Oh,
thank you, Riley.
No, sure, I'll tell you, it was, he didn't write it. He recorded it originally for the movie, and so therefore, like, Aaron Schroeder and Dmitri Tiomkin, they were the folks who wrote it, composed it, and it is basically a tragic song because of the movie. That's why it's in B minor, though it ends in D major. But in any event, it was a Golden Globe Award for Best Song of the Year, and it was nominated for Academy Award. In fact,
I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever seen the movie. Is it a James Dean movie?
How the hell would I know? I don't do movies. I've seen five in my life. But in any event, I will say that it was nominated for an Academy Award, and the song it lost to was Moon River. From Breakfast at Tiffany's. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, this was big enough that it was nominated along with him. So you can find out a ton of Gene Pitney. And if you look at the list and say, here's what I want to hear, let me know, because I'll be happy to play it for you.
All right, I'll give it some more research. Thank you so much.
Good deal. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
No problem.
So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And Diane in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi, Raleigh. I know so many of your callers have all this deeper knowledge and esoteric knowledge, which I don't have of. I just, know what I like and what I've listened to over the years. But you mentioned Dottie West, and I didn't know she died in that way.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, she does a duet with, she did a duet in the early 80s with the great Jerry Lee Lewis.
Well, she probably was the remake of Sweet Thang, which, of course, was originally one of my real heartthrobs, not as a person, but as a singer. Man, you want me to go to the moon and back, just say Nat Stuckey. I loved Nat Stuckey, and that was originally Nat Stuckey.
Oh, okay.
and Sweet Thing, and Loretta Lynn did it as well, but the Nat Stuckey. Well, has anybody here seen a Sweet Thing? And yeah, Loretta Lynn's is funny.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got a notion you'll be heading this way when a Sweet Thing. Yeah, Tom catting around. Yeah, I know. All right, yeah. So absolutely, yeah, that was 1982 for Jerry Lee and Dottie West, but that, like I say, it had originally been Nat Stuckey, and then it was the quintessential hit, the big hit, was Loretta Lynn.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's good as well. I like her talent as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a
fine
song. And
Patsy Cline and Hank Williams and all that older country.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you're mm-hmm. talking about that level of country performers, you know, it used to be a situation where you became a hit, and you were a hit for 50 years, you know, when you were in the quote-unquote club. It was a big thing. But
the
yeah,
Grand Ole Opry.
Well, that as well, of course. But, I mean, you know, if you were accepted in a music row, you were going to be a hit forever. And Ernest Tubb.
Music row being Nashville, you mean?
Yeah, 16th okay. Avenue South. Ernest Tubb recorded Sweet Thang also, but Nat Stuckey wrote it, and he recorded it on Paula, which was one of my all-time favorite little labels, an independent label out of Shreveport. He recorded it in Tyler. He didn't record it in Shreveport, but Shreveport released it. And I think he recorded that on 4th of July of like 1966. And they released it as a single on Paula. And it did all right. But then, like I say, man, Loretta Lynn got to it. And so did Ernest Tubb, but Loretta Lynn had the big one. And they did it at the Quonset Hut Columbia Recording Studio. And
Wow, you have such knowledge and extensive knowledge that goes on and on with all these labels and songs. It's hard to even know that these all existed.
Oh, yeah, well.
That you bring them all up and, you know, mention them and know about them.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a, I'll try to play all the versions, all the hit versions. Well, hit, I know. I'll play the Nat Stuckey and some of the Loretta Lynn and some of the Ernest Tubb.
Oh, thanks. I'd like to hear.
All right, good deal.
That Nat Stuckey one.
Yeah. Well, like I say, he's my favorite. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, so, yeah, and of course, my favorite Nat Stuckey record is one he didn't write. Actually, two of them that I think about, and he didn't write either of them. One was Plastic Saddle, which was Vic McAlpin. But the other, which was just such a wonderful record, was Don't Pay the Ransom, Honey, I've Escaped. Yeah, I just, some of the best lyrics ever, considering what I've been through, I'm in good shape. All right, so we'll do that, and we'll get to James on the South Side for his 4,822 stories coming up on WGN Radio.
I slipped out of the house about sundown while Mama was washing her hair. And you can bet your bottom dollar she'll come a-looking for me when she finds that I'm not there. And if she catches her sweet thing running around, I know there'll be the devil to pay. She'll come blowing like a cyclone through that door, and I can hear exactly what she'll say. Well, has anybody here seen Sweet Thing? I got a notion he'll be headed this way. 'Cause when my sweet thing's out tomcatting around, he finds a sandbox like this to play. I wanna tell all you barroom roses, if my sweet thing does happen by, you better take my advice. And if you blink more than twice, you better have something in your eye. I give my baby all my money on payday,
except
WGN Radio. Yeah, I'm Raleigh James, and that was Nat Stuckey's first chart record. It got to number four on the country charts in 1966, like I say, and he wrote it. The flip side, Paralyzed My Mind, was also a great record, and I could go on and on with wonderful Nat Stuckey records, including things that he wrote for other people, like Papa Top, yeah, which originally Jim Ed Brown. I know some newcomer did it in the last couple decades, but originally that's a Jim Ed Brown record, don't kid me. But, as I mentioned, Owen Bradley, you know, oh man, quintessential producer in Nashville, doesn't get better known. Bradley, who later, of course, had his own studio and was wonderful, but in 66, he was at Columbia B, the old Quonset Hut at Columbia Recording Studios on 16th Avenue South, and he, at the time, he was producing all the Decca stuff, and of course, Loretta Lynn was on Decca, and Ernest Tubb was on Decca, and he'd done that song on both of them, and then said, we're going to do that song on both of them together. And they were really hoping it would be a hit, and it wasn't. It got to about number 45. But still, I think Loretta Lynn was the quintessential sweet thing.
I slipped out of the house about sundown while Mama was washing her hair. And you can bet your bottom dollar she'll come looking for me when she finds that I'm not there. And if she catches her sweet thing running around, I know there'll be the devil to pay. She'll come blowing like a cyclone right through that door, and I can hear exactly what she'll say.
This away, 'cause when my sweet thing is out, come catting around, he finds a sandbox like this to play. I wanna tell all your barroom roses, if my sweet thing does happen by, you'd better take my advice, and if you blank more than twice, you better have something in your eye.
I give my baby all my money on payday.
Yeah, it didn't hold a candle to Nat Stuckey as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, Loretta Lynn and also on her own had done that. And then later, I think that a couple of her kids covered it, actually. So there you have it. And I think originally, though, it was released in February of 67. But as I say, they recorded it around Christmas time of 66. So 888-876-5593. The man of 4,896 stories, James on the South Side. How's it going, James?
I'm hanging in here. Just watching the rain come down.
All right.
I was going to yesterday when I was going to comment about the cremation thing about the in Japan. Okay. When they have like these like memorial gardens, and they have each family has like a certain like little tower thing, and it's like little slots.
Right.
And anyway, what's happened in some of the outlying prefectures is that because either the families died out where they didn't have any children, or the children moved to the big city, the big places like Tokyo or Yokohama, have you. And basically, what has been happening is there's no, each family gets a little thing where, of course, the area around it, they got to kind of keep it up pretty much.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of what's happened is a lot of these have basically gone kind of unkempt, as you might say.
Oh, I'll bet you. And I don't think that's probably to an extent here, too, because, you know, it didn't used to be that things were perpetual care. The families were supposed to, you know, pay in perpetuity, like a few bucks a year. I know when I was young, I was, you know, probably in my early 20s, I would get these bills from some cemetery in New York, and they weren't ever for much money. It was like for $6, $7, and I'd just pay them. And I remember talking to my adopted mom, and I said, you know, I'm paying all these bills. Who are these people? And she said, I don't know. Stop paying them. And so I finally did. But apparently, you used to have to pay every year.
Although, like, I know, like, I guess in Illinois, mostly, the perfect goes into whatever you paid, and then there's more people, that keeps it going because you're right. being buried next to, and so that's how that keeps going.
Right. John said I'm out of time. Now, this is terrible, so I promise you, if you call me early tomorrow night, you will be my first caller.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
I had a couple of things about Bobby West. I thought
good.
About there was some... I'll write it down.
Write it down. We'll talk tomorrow. I promise. You'll be numero uno. All right. So James on the South Side will be our first caller tomorrow night. He waited last night and tonight for the whole show. All right, can't have that happening. But also, I can't extend my welcome, which is over. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. We'll do it again tomorrow night, a full 3 hours, 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.